Want to hear more from your favorite Wolf Brothers? Head on over to patreon.com/thankthelight. And right now, for $3, you can have access to 6 exclusive episodes with plenty more on the way. Justin, Jeremy, and Desmond are talking about other fantasy movies over there because we don't want to put any Wheel of Time content behind a paywall. And just to boost the value, I'm putting our Time Pop Patreon episodes there too. That is my time travel podcast, where our Patreon episodes, we are talking about alternate / parallel universes / different worlds. Again, trying to do something different than our regular time travel feed. And if you like that, check out the free Time Pop feed with over 100 episodes to listen to. Please like, subscribe, and tell a friend about Thank the Light. Sign up for Patreon. Now enjoy this episode of Thank the Light.
I figured it out, buddy. I figured it out.
You always do. And we'll figure it out next week, too.
No. I figured out what the problem is. Because I have my main headphones that I always use. And there is one thing. It's like, it will, because it's not the default one, it immediately wants to tell me I'm going to listen out of the microphone, which does not work. Because, see, the microphone, it don't put out no sounds.
Hey, I can't hear anything. Hey, is this a phone? Is this a phone from the 20s?
So the editor did say, he's like, he thought we were starting at 70s. And I'm like, look, just jump in when you wake up. We're going to get going at 8 and, you know, we'll let you know where we're at and we'll just roll. And he's like, okay, cool. He's like, and I was like, we really, 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 really want you for the number 8. That's why I wanted Jeremy to be here. I want them to have a little fun touch tips, if you will.
Yeah. Little docking session.
And I want to go back to my stuff. Let's go with this. I will be your tide as high as today.
I can't hear that at all, by the way.
You can't?
I'll be able to hear it on your GarageBand. Will pick it up.
Nice. I was playing.
Tide is high.
It's Blondie, the tide is high.
Go. Well, I will be your Deus Des McNeese Mar McMar. Deus Mond McNar. I don't know. Something like that. So since no one else is here to give us funny looks, I do want to start off this podcast by saying I got a text less than an hour ago from Crookshank, motherfucker.
Obi-Wan McCrookshanks?
Obi-Wan McCrookshanks.
Wow.
That's
random.
Well, he found out I was his first text after he found out that the alehouse is closing in a month.
Oh, no. Why?
I didn't get any details out of him or anything. I don't know. Because it occurred to me afterwards that, like, they might just be tearing down that building and putting something else up. So it might not have anything to do.
That's probably more along the lines that they're probably going to put fucking condos or apartments in there or some shit.
Because I'm like, there's no way that a beer bar won't work in that neighborhood. There's
no way.
You can't sell burgers and beers on that corner for the rest of eternity.
Yeah, no shit.
But no, he was...
Especially where all those guys are from there too, you know, and have lived there forever. So.
Yeah, but he was super excited. He's like, oh my God, he's like, please tell me your podcast is called Slippin' Fat. the big chat was Slippin' Fat. I was like, no, but we do refer to each other as such.
Well, when this show is over, it will be.
Exactly. When the Wheel of Time tanks after its third season.
Slippin' Fat was some negative dick named Jeremy.
Our next podcast will be called Maybe Jeremy Will Like This. We'll just every week we'll just be like, here, try this. But what we are going to do today, Jeremy, we love you, Jeremy, and your opinion is much needed on this show. And
I'm ready. I can't wait.
You know what? It's okay not to like a thing, but it's not okay to not talk to us about you not liking a thing.
Exactly.
So we're going to do Two commentary. You're only going to hear one commentary, but we here in the recording session, we're going to do Bang Bang, episode 7, episode 8. We're going to move through them pretty quickly. I'm going to do one big outro at the end, but we're doing commentary. We're going to watch the episode in the back. We will hopefully have the editor come on, and Jeremy will hopefully show up somewhere around episode 8. So this commentary may not follow the episode as well as a commentary normally might. I will try to every once in a while bring us back to what's happening on the screen. But I think this is going to be an interesting conversation. So even if we get off the topic of what's actually going on the screen, it's going to be great. I know Justin he's been texting with the editor, I'm sure, to have a live conversation about season 2. It's going to be very interesting. And like I said, hopefully we're going to, we don't even know. I don't even know how much the editor even like really loves season 2. I'm excited to talk to him.
Yeah, I haven't got a chance to talk to him too awful lot. So, you know, I know that there's some stuff that he loved and hated, but like we've been trying to get him on since the fourth or fifth episode of commentary. And he just, you know, he just hasn't been able to make it happen with his schedule because he's in Dubai.
He's a busy man, and we're exactly 12 hours apart, I think, now.
Mafioso.
So we got to stay up late. He's got to get up early, and the mafia never sleeps. So
never.
How'd that go?
Never.
So all right, we are going to hit play on season 2, episode 7, Deus de Mar. Why do I keep adding? What?
I don't know. I love your mispronunciations.
These words are hard enough to fucking. All right, 0000 Prime Video. We're going to watch the previously on in 3, 2, 1, play. Bling! Prime Video logo.
Ooh, ladies kissing.
Oh, yes. Touch my stick.
I didn't even get the logo. They just went right into it.
Yeah, you're already 2 seconds ahead of me, I think.
Let me give you the gift of a dream.
Be quiet. Where is she?
Ishamiel has her.
Nothing exists outside the cell for you, Gwen.
If you want to rescue your friend, we have to work out how to open this.
It needs to be put on a woman. It can't be broken.
My name is Avienda.
It needs to be put on a woman.
Perrin Ibarra, do you like to dance?
Giotto is the IOA. You saved my life. So, where will we go now?
So, the reason, Des, why I'm the Titus High Sedai is because my work flooded this week.
Oh, no!
Yeah, we got we got evacuated at like 11:30 in the morning.
Evacuated?
Fire department came in and says, you gotta get the fuck out of here.
Wow!
Like, you guys gotta shut it down. Get out of here. My boss is pretty on it. She was like, hey, you need to get everything off the floor this morning because it's probably going to get in the building. And sure as shit, it did. We had about 6 inches in the building. I walked in on Wednesday morning, had about half inch of mud on the floor.
Wow.
And I ended up coming. We live in a really, our building is very, very old and historic. So there's really no crawl space. And so it came up through the floor.
Oh, man.
It was weird to watch it on video, just kind of come up and start flowing through the store. And then it came back of the store and like met. It was a trip.
Wow. Probably created a security issue too, because it softened all your doors and stuff probably too. Did you guys have to man it?
Not really. Our buildings, no, our building, we have like blast doors on them, but our remotes for our blast doors got swimmy.
Wow.
Where is it then?
It's in a bamboo hut on the river, like my father and I had.
And I'll be your fishwife.
You make a bloody awful fishwife.
All right, we got... I always forget that...
Suan and Moraine with their stealing kisses. I forget it. Because it's in New Spring, but they have a kind of relationship.
Well, I forget Suan was a blue. But of course she was, because...
Yeah, she was raised from the Blue Aja, right? Yeah.
I still think that the Aes Sedai in general are way too at odds with the other Ajas. Like, was there a golden era where everyone just got together, or have they always been kind of like, no, we're the good Aes Sedai?
Well,
I'm here to make Aes Sedai great again.
Right. So they've always kind of had, there's always been some, you know, disagreements and, but like what the Rima Sedai, she said, she's like, you know, we didn't always agree, but our trust and we were on the same page, you know? So that being said, it was that most of the time, you know, you have, they're really playing up because as you get into the books, factions start to develop and it's starting to happen right now. All the stuff that you saw in the book that Min is seeing around Aes Sedai and warders with violence and everything, the factions have become so bad in the books that they're openly like separating from each other and creating little, like, you know, mini like groups, even in between Aja sometimes, even like inter Aja issues sometimes, not just red versus blue or whatever.
Right.
So, yeah, this was cool that we get to see the Guitar Amoroso foretelling and stuff, but it was a little underwhelming. But still cool that we get to see it on screen. I, unlike some other people, I'm so grateful when I see something from the book, even if it's a small thing. If it's done decently, I'm like, yes, I love it. Another continuity thing. If you look at,
yeah, and this is something they really like.
Yeah, they planned this one. It was. Well, I was gonna say, if you look at Swan's tattoos, her left arm's pretty much bare.
Yeah.
And like she's gotten more tattoos since then. So I don't know. It's just little continuity stuff I think is cool about it.
The Wheel of Time logo splash.
The Ouroboros, if you will.
Thank you. I can never think of that when it happens. I know what that is. I mean, I fucking run a time travel podcast. I know what an Ouroboros is.
Right.
Fuck's sake.
My fucking phone keeps trying to like switch to my phone mic for whatever reason. I'm just like, stop it.
Is it? I thought I heard it switch to your phone mic for a second.
It tried to, and then I said no, and it just kept going. But I don't know why it's.
Because it's a butthole.
Can't wait to get a real house with a real internet connection. Oh, it's going to be great.
Oh, I'm going to hardwire the fuck out of you. I'm gonna get you.
Yeah, trust me. If we don't get out of this RV soon, my wife's gonna divorce me. So.
Nothing like a little space. That's one of the reasons we haven't moved is because I have my own space, which means Kelly has her own space.
I mean, I'm fine with it, but at least she needs some. We need a kitchen and stuff like that. We like to cook, and
she just needs something to do that.
You know, it's just hard.
Yeah, she needs something loud and obnoxious to do that you're not part of.
Well, and to be able to like not have to go sit upstairs and be silent for 2 hours, I'm sure that's annoying.
Exactly. Like I said, she needs something to do where all you can do is go in the room and hide for 2 hours.
Why are you here, Swan? I've let you carry this burden for 20 years, love. You've given everything for it. From here on out, I rode beside you.
So you're going to like start getting into some of this stuff in the books that where you start to see, you know, who's good guys and who's bad guys.
Yeah. Yeah. How far are you?
I'm starting to wonder if they're going to fucking start to jumble that up in the show a lot. I wonder if they maybe will make Swan Black Aja or Leon Black Aja or somebody not even thinking of right now, you know. It's I wonder how much they're gonna play with it, because, you know, any book people are gonna know, oh, this person's this person's that, this person's that.
Yeah.
I'm already having doubts about certain people already. I'm kind of like, I think Varen will stay true to book. I don't know about Shiriam. Leandrin seems to be staying pretty true to book, but he's made you like Leandrin, or, you know, at least have sympathy. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting. Because in the end, I think, like, I don't know, like, I haven't read all the books, of course, so I don't know who lives and who dies. And so, like, I wonder how many, like, people that we're garnering sympathy for may have a last-minute turn in the show so they survive.
See, that's something that doesn't really happen, and, like, mostly, it's mostly the characters you know live. There's a few. There's some that die at the end for sure, and they all have pretty heroic deaths and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's you know, I think they're going to get really, really, they're going to make some people mad in the show because they're going to kill off some people that's going to really piss some people.
I think it's just going to be a little.
I mean, I'm here for it. I know the main story. Tell me a different story. I'm okay with it at this point. You know, I don't care.
Yeah. I think there's just going to be a little less of it. You know, the show just can't handle 80 characters. So I think it's going to be similar probably to the books, but it'll just be a lot less of it.
I hope we get more of Rand and Lan together quietly talking, but I would like to see Rand use his sword. I was listening to the episode that came out today, and like, what if he's just so bad, like, just, you know, hitting himself in the face, like, oh, like, God, this kid, we can't even keep insurance on this kid. He's already broke his nose twice. Like, fuck. We're just going to have to figure, can we give him like an Indiana Jones whip or gun?
Oh, don't give him a fucking whip. He'll fucking lose an eye with a whip.
That's true.
Why wasn't Rand in the first episode? He was healing from from practicing off season.
I don't know if you know this, but Aes Sedai are real. You have to heal for real in the real world. So,
oh, here we go.
This whole conversation is important.
Not today.
I have questions for you.
You've got questions. Well, I've got questions.
Answer truthfully.
Why am I, if you're Rand, and that's one of the things that is a little frustrating. It's that they aren't, and I don't have ideas how you would have done it better. I'm sure there's something that, you know, people who are much more smarter and talented than I can, you know, if Jeremy were here, he'd probably have, you know, he'd fix it in probably a page, but, because he's just that good. The stuff was, you know, not really conveying how hideous it is to be a man that can channel right now.
Yes.
Like it's like the worst thing that could happen to you. You know, if you're a male, it's like, if you find out you can channel, it's like one of the most terrible things that could happen to you. So I wish they were doing a little bit more better job conveying. That's good English right there. I wish they were doing a little better job conveying that. But, you know, I think it's hard to make people understand. But like, you know, he's, you know, being able to channel is such a bad thing. Like having him sit there and talk to Swan one-on-one without a bunch of Aes Sedai around just in case is kind of, it's a little bit.
Even for Swan? Well, I guess, yeah.
Well, at this point, he can't.
Yeah, I guess if he is the real dragon reborn.
Yeah, right. At this point, he can't do much, but they don't really know that, you know?
Right. Well, she's about ready to find out. I think she finds it.
Well, here's a spoiler. Who do you think was it that knocked Matt out for Lanfear or Ishii, whoever brought him?
I think it was.
I know who it is. Who do you think it is?
Oh, what's his name? The guy who stole the dagger box.
Pod and Fane.
Yeah,
that's what I thought at first. It's not. I think it's Varen's warder Tomas.
Oh yeah.
I want some of them. I want some of them Falm donuts, bro. They look fire.
Fuck yeah! Some duck fat.
Didn't they look good?
They look so fucking good. Little...
That's why my nickname is Fatty, everybody, because I think like a fat guy. I'm like, oh, this show's beautiful. Look at all these surrounding areas and magic. Oh, what are those donuts about?
Ooh, stomping the streets.
I love Elaine right here. She just is like, nah, Nynaeve, we tried your way and it didn't fucking work. You need to shut the fuck up now. And her face right there, she's like, excuse me? You see her face? Okay.
Yeah.
Like, she was not happy, but she's right, dude. Nynaeve's a dumbass sometimes. When, like, force of will and, like, strength of character can get you through, Nynaeve's your champion. But when you need a little bit of smarts and subterfuge and maybe some subtlety,
a little bit of nuance,
she's not your gal.
Yeah,
she's not your gal. She's not your gal. Egwene, as much as I don't like to see you in your Damani outfit, like, you look, you look kind of badass, dude.
I forget we see that the other Aes Sedai that we know that was in the cell next to her.
Oh, is she out here right now?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she's right there.
Yeah.
Good eye. I didn't notice that, dude. Brenna's like, you're going to be my little Barbie doll. I'm going to put your hair in cornrows like mine.
It's so weird that, I mean, I guess we are introduced to enough characters that we got enough to worry about. I'm really surprised they didn't change her name. Just again, just to show how evil Deshaun Chan are. Like, you are not Egwene anymore. You are my pet, and this is your new name.
I feel like they did that to not confuse people, because once Egwene has her braids on and kind of has her makeup on, she's a little harder to distinguish from everybody.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Oh.
See, that was Varen's warder just coming back right there. That's why I think it's him.
Yep.
Like, what were you doing, bro? What were you up to? I still think one of her warders is a dark friend, man. Maybe not.
I think you're right. That just...
One of Alanis.
Yeah.
It's mostly the realist in me knowing that he's Randy Jeffcoat's husband, and I know he does a lot of stuff with Guy Roberts in the Prague theater and stuff. So I'm wondering if, you know, kill him off for a while and then, you know, you can, or make him kill the other guy and then he disappears for a while or something.
Who knows? He might be, you know, I mean, Guy, you know, might be like, you know what, I'll do your little show, but I want to stay in the theater. This guy might be like, fuck the theater. I'm ready to make the jump. Let's do some TV. I want to be in as much of this as possible.
Could be, yeah, too. I feel like Guy almost got like news about season 4 or something, because he was kind of like, yeah. And then he kind of hit me with like, yeah, reach out through Amazon and I'll come on. And it's like, you were all gung ho. So I almost feel like maybe he got brought back for more stuff, like for Hero of the Horn stuff, or maybe they're trying to plan out season 4 and 5 or the end. I don't know, but.
Or maybe he'll never be back and he's just over it. He's just like, all right, well, Wheel of Time is done.
I don't think he's over it because he's going to be appearing at Melchior Con in the UK, which is kind of like the Jordan Con for UK, like next June or something like that. So I don't feel like he's over it, but, you know, maybe he just, maybe he finally listened to the show and was like, oh, I don't like
this. If Amazon thinks it's okay for me to go on this dick joke of a show, then I'll do it. But I know Amazon will say no, and then I don't have to be the bad guy.
Right. Yep. Then I'm still friendly with everybody. And I mean, like, this stuff is good, you know, with Lan and Moraine. Like, I don't mind it at all, but it's just not as, I think they had to do a lot of this stuff to just, I hope that season 3 doesn't have as many hiccups as the first 2 seasons. I would like to see it unencumbered and see how it turns out. Because while this show is fine and good, I think for someone who doesn't know the subject matter anyway, it's tough to follow. You could still like it. And what I see a lot is that people who are not familiar with the books enjoy it and follow it. So I'm doing my best to just kind of like, especially next season, I'm going to be like, I'm just going to erase my reader brain and watch next season's going to be like fucking, you know, like straight across to the book.
Liar.
Which would be okay too. I know, right? I'm such a liar. You're such a loser, Justin.
I don't think it's hard to follow. I just think, you know, I know there's a lot to cover, but they know they're not going to have 12 seasons. So they need to fucking get in there and do it. Whatever you're doing, you need to start fucking doing it. Because I think it's easy to follow. Yeah. I just think that it's like, okay, I guess we'll go over here for a while and then we'll come back.
I mean, I was kind of listening to what you were saying about the whole like, Moraine's sister and Barthonis and everything. And I have a theory. I think you might be right. I'm hoping that, like, you know, the decisions that he's made in season 1 and 2 are going to have payoffs in season 3 and beyond, because he's got an overarching plan, not just like, oh man, we got to like scramble something together that kind of makes sense. So in the books, Elaine's mom ends up being, shall we say, courted by a Forsaken, which is basically compulsed into doing his bidding, and starts to take over Camelin, their Andor, you know, their where Rand is from, where Elaine's from. And I'm wondering if maybe that storyline of one of the Forsaken being in power in Camelin may shift to Karin.
Yeah.
Because Barthanas maybe is marrying a Forsaken that we haven't met yet, and he's going to free him and maybe kill Moraine's sister. You're creating drama. Moraine will want to go back and help her family or do whatever, and she can't because she's got to help Rand and whatnot. So
yeah,
that's my opinion.
That makes a lot of sense.
Oh, shit. We just missed Rand. We just missed Rand trying to flex on the Emirin seat, and she tied him up and blocked him like it was nobody's. Like, it was not even hard at all. This is bullshit, too. She's like, 6 months, and Moraine taught you nothing. Well, first of all, he hasn't been with Moraine for 6 months. He found out he could channel, and he left her the next day. Whether that's just misinformation or her being dense, it's like, come on, you know? And, like, that was my point with her having at least maybe a couple backups hidden. They don't know how strong he is. That was her testing him, and she realized he's not. He's strong, but he doesn't know what to do.
I feel like that's almost a let, because she wasn't in much of this season, so they might have filmed that scene first when they were like still back in like COVID protocol.
You might be right.
It is weird that it's just, you know, it makes kind of a powerful, you know, mano a mano scene, but it would mean more to the viewer to see that she, even the Amyrlin, needs protection against who will eventually become the dragon.
Because at a certain point, I think he walks in to meet the person in power. It's not Swan anymore. It is one of our well-known characters. And he walks in, and at this point...
Is it Rena? Does Rena become the Amyrlin seat?
No. Yeah, totally. 100%. It is her. No, she dies, remember?
I assumed.
She becomes Ghost Amyrlin seat, like in Harry Potter, like the chick that floats around.
Do we see her die this season? Do we? Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah. Egwene fucking kills her, dude.
Oh, I'm so excited. Egwene's like, this is all just masturbation until the last 20 minutes of the season for me.
Yeah, kind of.
Like, this is all good. I'm excited to watch it again. But, like, I'm just like, wait a minute. How exactly did it end?
Oof. Usually, like Sul'dam, they can learn and usually aren't as strong as someone who has the spark born within them. And I think a lot of times the Sul'dam are actually quite weak in the power. That's why they don't get, even if they can learn,
yeah,
they are still not going to be very powerful. I think that's how they kind of skate by. And so for her to feel how powerful Egwene is right there, it's like, you know, they're doing a good job conveying like the euphoria, orgasmia, whatever you want to call it, of the power for sure.
Well, we definitely saw that in the finale last year. Loyal. Ooh, that's right.
That's right. I love this. They did such a good job of making Loyal look more ogre-ish in this. I'm so happy with how he looks this season, even with the red afro.
Yeah.
Yes, your name sings in her ears. Yes, that's great. Now get up. We'll do this later.
You know what's funny? I just realized they have covered his ears just so that no one bitches about how his ears don't move. You just can't see him.
Dude, good point. You're right. I bet you're right. Because that's just something that they don't have the budget for. Man, they just tie some strings on it and tie to his jaw.
Yeah, it's...
No, you're right. That's a good point.
I just realized
that's a super good point, dude.
Yeah, it looks kind of funny. Like, does he have human-like ears? Or does, like, I feel like if he pulled his hair back, he'd have little fish holes.
No, they're kind of like...
Right, they should be peeking out of his hair based on how they're written.
They're kind of like dog, like they're kind of like my dog's ears almost, but more... Rabbity. I don't know. Not rabbit. That's not what I'm thinking. Like, I'm thinking like
elf, like an elf. I'm thinking like an elf.
Troll or elf, but
not that cute,
but bigger. Maybe like, with some hair on them and stuff. Like maybe like orky almost, or not.
Oh, goats, like a goat or a
kind of, but more pointy.
Yeah. Yeah, we still don't know who Matt is. Because didn't they allude to something like these two have a different relationship than maybe we've come to know them that have in the book?
Ishmael says something about Matt was born his or something like that for whatever reason, whether he was a dark friend or if it had something to do with the horn. I don't know. Actually, Jeremy texted me a couple of things about the book and pointed out something to me that I really hope he comes on for next episode because I want to talk to him about it. Pointed out something that I didn't really realize, or maybe I realized or just didn't stay or what, but Matt's the best line in the whole fucking...
Oh, this fucking scene.
Did we miss the best line?
Which takes...
Did we miss the best line? Is this a killing thing or a sex thing? Either way, can we...
Let's you glimpse your past lives.
I'm wondering why they did this. A lot of people are saying, like, you haven't got to the part where Matt goes through the doorway or Rand. They all go through this doorway and there's these beings of people.
Oh.
And that's where Matt starts to figure out about his past lives a little bit. But not like this. So I'm hoping that this is just a setup so that you understand the context of when he gets past memories and stuff.
I hope so, too, because I think this is a fine scene. They just need to, like...
This is kind of a weird one for me.
Flush out his visions a little bit more. Like, I feel like we need to see what Matt sees a little bit better. But if you're like you're saying, they're going to go through the door.
I think it's intentionally confusing because they don't know where they're going to go. Yeah. They'll clarify it a little bit maybe if he gets through the door frame, you know? I think that we won't get... There's like two like races, if you want to like go like D&D, you know, terminology of people. One is slightly more snake-like. One is slightly more fox-like. But they're like the saver is what they like, you know, and Taviren or people who can channel are what they covet because they can just sit there and feed on the one power or feed on their like Taviren-ness. Like if you cause a Taviren pain, it's like... It's like the best opium or something for whatever, you know, or whatever you want to compare it to.
Yeah.
For these beings. That's what they live on, basically.
Take me to Julian.
So this goes back to the White Cloak fight. The White Cloak are like, yeah, we did this, blah, blah, blah. So there was four maidens. They wounded one who eventually died, took Avienda capture prisoner. And that was it. And they killed like six White Cloaks or eight White Cloaks.
The dance.
So that's just another like way to kind of let you know how deadly the Aielmen are.
What are you doing?
Yep, Doggy doesn't like girls fighting. You guys are supposed to be friends.
God, they beat the shit out of her. I always think like they just give her a good punch in or two, but they fucking jump her.
Yeah, they give her a fucking beating.
Jesus.
They show her a pretty good beating.
All right, Matt. Ooh, the last piece of sand dropped. Oh, he is ready. I forget.
I know.
Why did he have to hesitate?
He had to wait. Did Ishmael say why he had to wait to drink it?
It had to steep properly to get the, you know, make sure the mushroom juice is all. Mm.
Okay, I know how tea works.
Yeah, yeah. It's tea. I like taking hot shots of coffee, and that hurt my throat watching him do that. He should rub some on his gums.
Oh, it's got some honey in it, bro. It's fine. Should rub some on his gums. He's not a teething baby with boomer parents. Settle down.
He knows how to do drugs, though. Matt's no fucking square.
I'm looking forward to having a drink with you and a smoke with you again someday.
Okay, what the fuck is going on here? I'm going to zoom in.
Whoa, the shrooms are kicking in, bro.
I'm going to see if there's any.
Yeah, there's definitely nothing like, oh, his mom. He's seeing his mom. Okay, let's watch these visions. So there's Matt in the mirror, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's him hanging, right? Okay, that makes sense to me.
Okay.
That's Pod and Fane drowning him, I think, or maybe Rand in the white shirt. Then he's killing, was that Egwene? Oh. Who is he killing?
I think Egwene.
It looked like Egwene. And then he's hanging again with a blue face. Matt can't kick it.
You need some tomato soup?
Well, that was weird too, because it's like stop, stop, and then he was his mom, and then he was comforting his mom.
Oh.
He's like holding himself. You know what would have been cool is if it flashed back and it was Donald holding Barney.
Oh fuck yeah. Oh my god. That would have been
fucking sick, dude. It would have been like, it would have been an ultimate mind fuck. This is the only reason why I kind of think I was like, maybe Sue. I mean, like, I know they're, you know, it's a TV show, right? You got to create drama, got to create tension. Nothing like this ever happens in the book between Moraine and Suan. Don't even fucking speak, I don't think, after like the second book. Even once Moraine comes back into the story, I don't think they see each other. Maybe. I think they like hear each other that, oh, Swan's still alive. Oh, Moraine's still alive, but they don't ever interact ever. So I'm wondering if they're setting up some kind. And then the other thing that happens in the next episode, we'll talk about it too, but the tension is seeming a little bit more escalated. Swan's been gone for a while. I wonder maybe she's under compulsion. Could she be a dark friend? I don't think dark friend. I think possibly compulsion.
Oh.
Some of the Aes Sedai that Rand deal with later in the book, some of them are compulsion, some of them are dark friends that are working together. So, you know, at this point, the only Aes Sedai that I really trust are Emond's Field 5, Moraine, and Lan. And I think Alana, you can trust that she's the light, but I don't trust both of her warders. At this point, I don't trust Suan 100%. Shiriam, I thought for sure was going to be, you know, maybe not the best because of book stuff, but I'm not so sure of that. Also with Leanne, she was a very steadfast for the light. I don't know. She's got weird vibes to me in the show. So, you know, I'm not sure.
Do you think Moraine could kill Suan in the show?
It's one of the things that has crossed my mind. I thought that they might have some kind of Aes Sedai fight next episode when all that shit's going down. And whether it was because, you know, Lanfear's there and maybe, you know, maybe Suan's not a dark friend, but thinking that Moraine could be or something. Like, you know, a lot of it, like I said, the drama right now this season could be miscommunication, subterfuge, lots of things. We don't know.
If Suan decides that Rand needs to be gentle, that would be enough for Moraine to do what she had to do.
Absolutely, because you can't gentle the dragon. He's like the savior of mankind.
Yeah.
That'd be like cutting off Anakin's legs.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Whoop.
And his arms. Oh, and setting him on fire. I mean, oh, man, son of a bitch.
And he's still one of the most powerful Jedi in the galaxy.
Yeah, even missing four limbs.
Imagine if Rand was just a torso.
Yeah, four limbs and your skin is all you have, and you still got more midichlorians than anybody else. Dude, honestly, Dez, that's the main reason why I want you to read the books, because some of the stuff that Rand does and go through, like, I think as a man, especially as a dad now, to being a husband, you are a very caring, loving, empathetic man. Not all men are so, or if they are, they don't know how to, like, you know, apply it in real world. You are a person who does, like, you know, we lived together, we both grew up a lot, but we were ahead of our time as far as, like, caring, empathetic men then, when we were early in our 20s. We're much better now, in my opinion. But the things that Rand and Perrin, Matt to a lesser extent, go through as far as, like, family, for their wives, for their loved ones, how Rand tries to be so hard to protect his friends, and he realizes that he can't be. He has to, you know, let them fight too, because they have the right, you know, but also would do anything for them. And parents like that too. It's like, I'll fucking die 40 times if I could save my wife. I think those are some of the things that you will cry. Like, it will resonate with you. Not like, oh, this is like, oh, this is emotional. No, I think it will resonate with you enough, because whether it's Jerry or your mom or your brother or your sisters or your kids or your wife, it something many times over will resonate with you and will make you realize what kind of man you are. You got there without these books. I based a lot of my, when I was confused about stuff, I didn't, like, what did my parents say? I would think about stupid books or fucking Star Wars, because all I ever want to be was virtuous and good and help people even when I make bad decisions. So
yeah,
even when I'm selfish, I want to be good for others. Like, yeah, I'm gonna be selfish, but I'll make sure it benefits somebody. Well, I hope
I'm not gonna totally step on you to get where I need to go.
Yeah, I'd be rich if I was that person.
If I step on you to get up here, it's so that I can pull you up,
right? Thanks for the boost. Now come on.
I just needed a better foothold. Come on.
This is pretty cool, actually, and you'll get a little more of this as you get the second iteration of Ishmael in the books. He, you know, he, before he went to the shadow, he was a philosopher. And that was his thing. And he was very powerful.
Oh.
And, you know, his philosophy finally got to the point that it's like, this will never end. This pain and torture will never end. It's better to have nothing than all of this pain and hurt in the world. And it's like, Rand's the opposite side of that, right? The answer was love. The reason why we keep coming back is so that we can love our wives and our children and do good for the world again and again and again.
And allow them to hurt. Like, it's okay for the people you love to hurt. Like, it's part of everyone's growth.
Thank you. That's a huge message in the book too. It's like, Perrin has to get there. Well, I want to protect you from everything. You can't.
That comes up a lot in
do what you can and be there for support when you can be, you know.
That's been coming up a lot in time travel movies, where people keep going back in time to take away someone's hurt, and then they become someone they don't love it anymore.
Yeah.
Because it was all of their hurt that made them the person that you wanted to love.
Yep, yep. You take away that free will part of it, and you take away that damage that made them who they are. Maybe not damage, but experience.
Oh, I'm damaged.
Isn't Moiraine with you? Surely she can do something.
Maybe she will. Maybe I won't need you.
Oh, I do like it when you try to manipulate me.
Can you get me out or not, Lenfear?
Rand's shielded. They're hanging out in Teleron Riad, and now she's here?
Yeah.
Is that all happening simultaneously?
More or less, I think.
Or did she leave Teleron Riad? Did she leave him in Teleron Riad to come?
I think that...
Oh, she's coming to save him now, isn't she?
Yeah, she's getting him... she's creating a distraction, too, because he's like, you couldn't even get out of the city. And he's like, well, help me get out then. So she's like, all right. I don't think that's what he was thinking, but...
I even miss your cousins.
Come now. Did he expect we would fight the last battle against an army of kittens?
Did you expect us to fight a last battle against an army of kittens? Yeah, that's what I was hoping for.
I would offer you a march, but Stones is a gentleman's game. Tell your master that I'm still waiting for her to keep her promise. Or you can just run me through with your blade now. Save her the trouble.
I can do better than that.
Oh, this fucking scene. Okay, yeah,
Yeah, see, this is some shit too, because technically, you know, if you have been stilled as a female or gentled as a man, you shouldn't be able to really sense the power any more than like, oh, maybe you feel like maybe Loghain would feel a kinship with Rand, like, oh, I feel like I know you or something, or I, you know, we're same somehow. But he's been gentled, so he shouldn't be able to see anything. That's definitely a difference. And for story wise, like, I'm not mad at it. It's like, you know, oh, I blew out my shoulder and I can't throw a 90 mile an hour fastball anymore. I still know how you're supposed to do it. I just can't anymore. And I know when someone else throws one, I can see it. So to me, yes, it's magic, but in a real world context, like, that makes sense to me. And it almost to me makes the whatever you want to call it, longing or like how when you lose the power, you know, like Lan said, oh, do you want to kill yourself, Moraine, because you can't channel anymore? That's generally the feeling when you lose channeling, you don't want to live anymore. And so it would make a little more sense to me, actually, that you could kind of maybe still see somebody doing something with the power or see Weaves, and it's almost like a big mind fuck that maybe I could still channel somehow. Because, spoiler alert, you can. Everything can be healed, except death. Well, Lanfear says no. If you are a dark friend, death can be healed. God, look at her. She just wrecks fucking shop. I don't think Rand was like, hey, kill a bunch of people so I can get out.
Oh, here's the not Matt fireworks explosion. Wrong.
You know, Jeremy and I got into arguing about this. Maybe it was me and you actually talking about like budgets for a show. And it's like, I wonder if they're, oh, well, this is your special effects budget for these two seasons or for this season. And they're like, Rafe's like, well, if we hold back this amount of money from this one and this amount of money from this one, we can add it on to season three. Jeremy was like, that's not how budgets work. I was like, if you have a 3-year contract, they fucking absolutely work that way. I would think so.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, we save money on visual effects here and here. I want to put it here. Like, maybe he got an okay for it. You know what I mean? Because the visual effects, there's just not a lot of them.
The problem, though.
The ones that they do aren't like, I mean, like I said, I'm not Mr. Visual Effects, but you might be able to tell me more. What they do actually do doesn't seem, the fire dragon over the tower, right? You know, the channeling weaves. It doesn't seem like it's crazy hard CGI. Like I said, I don't know these things.
What you would be shocked to learn.
But, you know, you're not making someone look 40 years younger.
What you would be shocked to learn is how much goes into every single shot in a show like this. You don't need a major explosion to have to take a paintbrush like this scene right here in the dark. Like, you've got to like okay, we need a little bit, even though we want it dark, we want a little bit more light on her face, and we want this highlighted more, and we want, like, even things without massive explosions or weaves are still getting touched up big time. So,
and then when you start doing every little thing, those become hours and hours and hours, which is budget, because man hours are budget. So,
and
it's not, I guess that makes sense. It's not just a technical money this costs. It's these people are working on these things for.
Yeah, you're paying a wage. You're paying an hourly, daily wage. And where you may be right that if you save on this year, you can put it in next year. The problem is if you don't, if your season two fails, they'll be like, yeah, in second.
If you don't get that season, then where's, you don't get to pocket that money. So yeah,
that's it's fair. Like a budget. It's like, oh, well, you did this year with $20,000. So why would I give you $30,000 next year?
That makes sense. Actually, that was a, we were talking, but that was a pretty gangster scene right there when they walk up and just slap. And we've been bullshitting, but I didn't realize that when they must have had some sort of a conversation by they, I mean, Nynaeve and Elaine must have had some sort of a conversation about, do we think this would work on a Soldam?
Yeah.
You know, I didn't catch that, but, and that is something similar, I think, that happens in The Great Hunt. And they slap it on the Soldam's neck and it works. So it's confirmation of everything that we've been talking about. Yes, the Soldams can channel whether it's a little or a lot, and they don't even realize what they can or can't do, because everything that they do is sort of this crutch through the Damani and the collar. My favorite is that they think they're doing, like, you know, the creator's work by collaring these people that are the same as them. It's a pretty good metaphor for a lot of things that happen in the real world. Like this right here, like Rena, like her fucking faux kindness to Egwene to achieve her goal is just, it's the worst kind of person in the world.
I don't even know if it's faux. I think she believes the dogma so much that, like,
right. It could be, you know, that she believes it so much that she believes she is doing the light's work or whatever, you know?
And like, if Egwene, if you help us conquer the world, then we'll have nothing else to conquer and you'd probably be free.
No, but you'll be the best Damani ever.
Yeah, that's something they haven't done a good job in the show, is discuss the Shan Chan hierarchy, which is for fucking real. Like, there are Domanis that are worthless backyard rolling in your poop dogs, and then there's Domani that are good little pets that you get to go places and we'll roll the windows down in the car for you.
Right. It's just like any good pet, you know, it depends on your owner. If they're a shitbag or they spoil you to death, but they still do look at you as like something that is not their species, which is kind of fucking gross in many ways. It's not kind of gross. It's all the way gross. Okay, actually, you know what? Two things I said last podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's something they said in the, oh shit. Sorry. I really wanted to see this scene because this is,
sorry.
No, it's okay. I it kind of jumped out at me because this is a scene that
is he going to kill Moraine or his mom?
I think his mom. Oh, and there she is. Yeah. Because this is a scene we kind of argued about, because...
Yeah, he was going to go kill with... He was going to go...
Neither one of us could quite...
I think he was thinking he was going to, like, sneak up on Moraine and kill her. But then they were like, you have to kill your mom, too. And he was like, fine. I really think that he's going to be married to a Forsaken. Or, you know, getting ready to.
Absolutely.
But... That doesn't make sense, because why would a Forsaken want him if they're already in power?
Why?
That's my only problem. Unless it's to get close to Moraine, to get close to Rand.
Is it a Shan Chan, maybe? Like, why is it such a fucking secret who his fiance is?
It's not a secret, really.
Then why don't we know who it is?
They say her name, but you haven't met her.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they say it. Yeah, her name, her last name is Galdry, and I don't remember what her first name is.
Oh.
And like,
I thought she was like the fucking MacGuffin.
No, she's the queen already, so.
No, his fiance isn't the queen. His fiance is the princess, right?
He said you can't, or yeah, I guess maybe she's the princess. He just said you can't tell the queen.
Right, the queen being his future mother-in-law, I think.
You know, fuck it, right, okay, this scene. Rand's just like kneeling, being a sad boy. Dude, you can leave, you have a sword. You're not bound with air, you're just shielded.
I don't think he can. He can't move.
Is he bound with air? I thought he was just shielded.
Well, I think he's locked in the fetal position.
Well, and also this is...
Because he hasn't changed positions since Suan put him there.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah, I see. Yeah, you're right. Well, and like this scene also makes me wonder about Lianne and Varen because, you know, like I said, I have a pretty good clue about what Varen's going to be, whether it'll be exactly like the book or not. I think she's got her own motives for everything, good or bad. But Lianne, you know, she seems good, but also she accepted Varen's, you know, excuse very quickly. Varen worded what she said very carefully as well. And she immediately is like, let's go, Rand. This is why I'm, you know, like, I hate to be like, I feel like most of the first season was like, I can't wait for the second season. But like, I feel like, you know, when you get like, say you have a trilogy, you're like, oh, first movie was crazy good and like action packed. And the story was like heroic. And then like your second movie is like, you know, Empire Strikes Back, Two Towers. It's a slog. It's depressing. The good guys look like they're going down. And you get a lot of background. And then the third one is like, brr. I feel like we're like.
Well, and you have to be in the absolute peril at the end of the second one. Like, I mean, that's why Star Wars is the ultimate trilogy. Introduce the characters, put them in the worst possible position. Watch them get out of it.
Right. And Walking Dead was doing that really good for a few seasons. And it just got, you know, you can only put people in so many unsurvivable zombie situations that they get out of. It's just like, yeah, you make a rule of zombies and then you break it to save a main character. You have to stop.
It would be like, imagine if this show was super fucking popular and they're just like, well, we don't want it to end because it's got such high ratings. And like, Wheel of Time, season 15. It's like, what the fuck are we doing?
Well, I believe that the best thing about all good stories is that they have a satisfying conclusion. And that's what makes me love and hate Stephen King so much, because he is such a good writer in many ways and will bring you on this crazy breakneck pace of a tale all the way through this incredibly long book and have this just complete shit ending like every fucking time. It's like, bro, hire someone else to write your endings then. I don't care.
Get a wrap-up specialist.
Like, if you would have better endings, you could... For real, you could be the greatest writer of all time, even though your genre is kind of horror. Like, some of your books could have been so much better with just even mediocre endings. Like, they made it so much better with the newest version of it because the ending was so good. Very satisfying.
Lan.
Not just your eyes. What do you see?
Don't.
Just do it.
Yeah.
This is another thing that, you know, it's totally... what I'm looking for. Unexplored territory, you know. Rand being able to look and see male weaves on a female. That's something that I mean, I think there's a few times in the book, like Leandrin has a shield on her at one point, but I think a female put it there. I think Mugadin put it there, but it's pinching her off to the point where she can barely channel. Lanfear puts a shield on another Forsaken at one point, same thing. Lets them just channel a trickle. So it's not a huge stretch that they could do that to Moraine, but the fact that Rand can see them tied off, you know, post tying off of the channeling weaves is something that's, I can't remember in the book at all, But also, I'm okay with it because you have to.
Yeah.
It's a, you know, it's one of the things that I argue with Jeremy a lot about. It's a visual medium, right? And
yeah,
a lot of times people who are in a visual reading, that the reason why they're going to take the time on a show like this and not read the books is for that exact reason. It needs to be a little more simpler. It needs to be a little bit more streamlined and straightforward. So most of the time, I don't have a lot of problems with the changes that they make. I'm more upset with just the way the story has gone. I just, like I said, you've said too, if it makes sense, you know, and it has, you set the rules for the zombie world. You can't just break them all the time. So you're setting the rules for this Wheel of Time world. Stick with them, stick with your storylines and make them pay off. It won't matter to me. I think Jeremy too, if third season comes through, ties all that shit together and is amazing, I think he's not going to go back and rewatch it 10 times, but he's going to be much more happy with the show as a whole.
Oh, Moraine can feel it. Her chastity has been broken. And Lan and Moraine love each other again.
Yeah, a lot of that was so ridiculous.
Well, I can, yeah, it's just Moraine just being like, well, he can't be my warder anymore, and he needs to serve a purpose, so I need to scare him away like Harry and the Hendersons.
It's that, Jesus Christ. Apparently I'm a little drunk. It's, that classic trope of my boss doesn't listen to me, right? Lan's been trying to tell her the entire season that he can feel something and that maybe she's not stilled. And she won't even address it. She can't even get past her own, you know, she's not seeing the whole picture. She can't get past her own boo-boo-ness to realize that there might be something else. And that's, I think, but they've went so far to do it. And this whole conversation is way too casual between Suanne and Moraine. You know, if you're watching with us, I get they're kind of supposed to be old friends and comfortable, but.
You swore to obey me on the oath rod, an unbreakable oath.
What Suanne is doing to Moraine here is basically the same thing as compulsion, which is used by only dark, you know, Aes Sedai and whatnot, Forsaken. But she's doing it in a way where she knows that she's compelling her and she knows exactly what she's doing. So to me, it's more of a betrayal and more fucked up in many ways because they're supposed to be friends.
I think Moraine's going to kill Suanne.
I kind of agree with you.
Oh, I forget she fucking compulses her.
Yeah, more or less.
Why couldn't Suanne just close it over? If Suanne's that much more powerful, why couldn't she just reach across her and close it? Why is the opener must be the closer?
I don't think that's the case. And, you know, they're similar in the strength of the power, but they could have had a battle of wills, if you will, to try to like shut it.
Yeah.
But Suanne knew she didn't have to. And she was flexing, dude. She was flexing on her. She was like, you're gonna fucking do what I say. And Moraine has never been more upset with her. You can see it on her face. And then, Daughter of the Night comes walking out.
Oh.
She comes walking out of the fucking shadows. She's too strong. Don't. Yeah, what do you think you're gonna do, Swan? She's a Forsaken, bro. She's gonna laugh at you.
Oh.
Okay, so Swan is shielding Rand, right? His shield dissipates immediately. So she's not knocked out. So two things. Lanfear either shielded her or stealed her. Oh, yeah, she's awake. Her eyes are moving. So she could have stilled her. Or severe, like I said, that severe shield to where they can channel just enough to know they can channel, light a candle, but they can't do anything very strong.
Did we see Suanne shield Rand?
Yes, she walked.
Or did we just... I saw him get unshielded.
No, she kind of walks up they're opening the way gate and she shields Ran and like tells Moraine to stop. And Moraine has to stop because of the oath rod.
Oh.
See, that's the thing though, right there, that if it comes back, some of the things that they put in, like the oath rod thing, is you will obey me, right?
Right.
So there is a reason for that. Even if it's just this scene, it still fits. And I'm fine with that. Not my favorite, but continuity wise, you know, dude, I'm sorry. We used to have these conversations about movies all the time. You and I are both complete psychopaths for continuity.
Yeah.
Written for television and developed by Ray Lee Judkins. Fuck, we didn't talk it.
Up next, episode 8. Hold on a second.
I am not average. I am not ordinary. I am a masterpiece. You know I do it for me. I am not perfect. No, that's imaginary.
What's the Wheel of Time?
According to Wikipedia, The Wheel of Time is a series of high fantasy novels by American author Robert Jordan, with Brandon Sanderson as a co-author for the final three novels. Originally planned as a six-book series at its debut in 1990, The Wheel of Time came to span 14 volumes, in addition to a prequel novel and three companion books.
Thank you for listening to Thank the Light, the Wheel of Time podcast. Please like, subscribe, and tell a friend about Thank the Light. And please check out our Patreon at patreon.com/thankthelight. We have and will continue to produce Wheel of Time content for free, but if you could help us with some production costs, we would be greatly appreciative. We are asking for $3 a month, and to show our appreciation, you will receive an exclusive podcast every month. You will actually receive two exclusive podcasts every month because I am adding our Time Pop Patreon episodes to this Patreon to beef up the value and hopefully introduce you guys to your second favorite podcast. We do not want to put any Wheel of Time content behind a paywall, so these episodes will consist of us discussing a different fantasy movie and unfairly comparing it to the Wheel of Time. If you like the show and would like to support us for free, we just ask again that you like, subscribe, and tell a friend about Thank the Light. Check us out on Twitter and Instagram at Parched Ailman. That is Wolf Brothers at Parched Ailman. Or on Facebook at Thank the Light, the Wheel of Time podcast. Please send us questions and comments to thankthelight@gmail.com. That is thankthelight@gmail.com. Looking for another great podcast to listen to, head on over to whatsoundsawesome.com and check out our entire podcast lineup for your next favorite podcast at whatsoundsawesome.com. Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
I was talking a lot last episode, so naturally I loved it, but I made myself laugh a lot.